We believe that God has the... How many of you believe God has the last word? Amen? That whatever we go through in this life really is temporary, but what God has for us is eternal. And the Bible says this, that he who began a good work in you will do what? Bring it on to completion. How many of you know if God's done started a work in you and you feel like nothing's ever completed, God is going to complete what he's already began in you. Amen? And we believe that the Bible says this, that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love him. I mean, God has got something amazing for us, but sometimes we can't see past our own hand, right? Sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it's hard to hold on to heaven when we feel like we're living in hell. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like, man, I'm just in this never-ending situation. And I think about James Stockdale and some of the things that he said. He says, I never doubted not only that I would get out, but that I would also prevail in the end and turn this experience into the defining event of my life. And he says, in retrospect, I would never trade it. I mean, I don't think anyone will, oh, yeah, I want to do 7.5 years in a prison camp, beaten, tortured, all of that. Nobody would want that. But he said that he determined I would never look back. I would allow God to do something wonderful in my life. And in the interview with him, he was asked, you know, who are the guys that didn't make it? Who are the ones that didn't make it out? And he said, oh, very simply, he goes, it's the optimist that didn't make it. I mean, and that sounds kind of strange because wouldn't you think if you're optimistic? But he said the optimist would think, oh, by December, by Christmas, we'll be out. And then Christmas would come and go. And then all of a sudden, Easter, they're like, oh, well, by Easter, we're going to be out. Easter would come and go. And then they would think, oh, by summer, we're going to be out. Summer would come and go. And this repeated. And listen, if you're so optimistic and it never happens, then all of a sudden you begin to get a little bit crushed. And he said that they would lose heart and that they would give up. And so James Stockdale, he shared a fascinating philosophy with them. And he says this, I think I have the quote, you can put it up on the screen. He says, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end with a discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. And you think about that, what with the brutal facts. Sometimes we're told these things, oh, you know what, just believe and kind of ignore all of these other circumstances. No, listen, if you're going through a trial, how many of you know you're going through a trial? We don't have to deny it. We don't have to act like it's not there. Jim Collins called this philosophy the Stockdale paradox. And it's confronting the brutal facts but never losing faith. Amen? Does that make sense? Confronting the facts that I am going through this situation. This is a real situation. Maybe you're going through a financial issue. Maybe you're going through a health crisis. I'm going through this, but I'm not going to lose faith. I'm not going to allow this to destroy my faith. I mean, I think Jesus said something similar to that. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. All right? Isn't that a wonderful news? In this world, you're going to have trouble, but he says this. I mean, that's a reality check right there. That is confronting the reality that when you have trouble, hey, listen, Jesus already told me, but you know what? He didn't just say that. It came with a promise because he says this, take heart, for I have overcome the world. In this world, you're going to have problems, but take heart. Don't worry. Don't be overcome by it because Jesus has already overcome all of the situations that sometimes we allow to overcome us. Amen? So if we have our faith in him, then we're not going to have to stress about it. I mean, the Bible says that we are prisoners of hope. If I'm going to be a prisoner, I'll take being a prisoner of hope. Amen? I'll take that any day. It is who we are. The message of the scripture really jumps out, and you just see hope throughout scripture, don't you? Everywhere you go. So Romans chapter 1, I want to read this. Verses 1 through 4 here. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. We have access into what? Faith, by his grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our success because we know success produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character hope. Does that sound right to y'all? No, I interjected the wrong words there. So let's flip it. Let's see what it's not success. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Wow. We don't like suffering, do we? I mean, unless you're weird or something, you got dropped on your head too many times. Most people do not like suffering. But it says this, we rejoice in our suffering. Why? Not because you're weird, but because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And so how do you get stronger? I mean, if you're building your muscles, you have to have some kind of resistant training, don't you? You got to have some kind of resistance. How do you grow a person? How does a person become a mature individual? Listen, it's not by giving them everything that they want. It is through adversities that we face that we become a mature individual. That's why the phrase spoiled, rotten person. How many of you, you know, you've heard that? That person's spoiled and rotten because they've gotten everything that they've ever wanted. It is contrary to what we think, but God does not give us everything we want because he doesn't love us. No, God doesn't give us everything that we want because he loves us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to become mature people in this life. Now listen, he does give us everything that we need. Amen. He provides all of our needs. He doesn't provide all of our wants. Now, sometimes he allows us to have some of those wants, and I'm thankful for that. But sometimes people get disillusioned with God because they're like, oh, I really needed this, and the thing that they think they needed wasn't really a need at all. Amen? So this is adversity makes us who we are. There are things that you have to overcome to become the person that God has destined you to be. Things that you need to overcome in life. If you ever want to be the person that God has called you to be, then guess what? You're going to have to go through some stuff. Amen? You're going to have to, and listen, formulas in the Bible, you don't see them a whole lot, but this is probably as close to a formula as you're going to see. How do I get hope? How do I become a person of hope? Well, unfortunately, I have to tell you this, but it starts with suffering. Man, it's quiet in here. Nobody's excited about that? Well, I can't blame you. Listen, the first step in cultivating hope is suffering. It produces person. And listen, it's not easy. It's not fun. It's really not something anyone wants to amen. And I understand that because I don't really want to amen that. But it is reality, isn't it? This is God's word. This is truth. And so talking about suffering, let me just share three things about that. First of all, I read this story, George Foreman in his autobiography. He tells this story about this elderly lady who was asked what her favorite scripture is. Now, I could ask you guys, and you probably have a favorite scripture, what it is. Some people love this verse, all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. How many of you like that? God's work in all things. What about this one? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a great verse right there. But she said her favorite verse was, and it came to pass. That's not really even a verse, is it? It's like a phrase. It's a phrase that is in there. And she explains, she goes, the reason that's my favorite verse is because I know that when trials come, they don't come to stay, they come to pass. Amen? How many of you know we need to remember that sometimes? Whatever we're going through, even though it feels like we're going to be here forever, and we feel maybe you feel like you've been there forever, understand that it's coming to pass. You may be suffering something at the moment, but it won't be here for the rest of your life. And it certainly won't be eternity. Amen? So, I mean, this is really confronting the brutal facts. Ecclesiastes, what an encouraging book, right? Sometimes. But it has these lists of a time, you know, a time to do this and a time to do that. And, you know, a time to be born and a time to die. a time to tear down and a time to build up. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. Now, how many of you would be honest and say, I like half of that list? All right? It's like, I like half of that. I mean, don't we want laughing without crying? Don't we want dancing without mourning? I mean, but that's not life, is it? That's not how things work. But the good news is the Bible says that God makes everything beautiful in His time. Can I say it's not in our time? He does all of it in His time. And listen, if you've ever, you know, I remember like as a teenager, you know, one of the most devastating things to face as a kid is when a relationship breaks up, right? And it's like, oh, no, and you're just so depressed, and you feel like you're going to be there forever. But, you know, as you get older, you go through other difficult situations. Losing a loved one, how many of you know that's difficult? Losing somebody that you really love, that is hard. I mean, there, you know, maybe you've gone through a bankruptcy. Maybe you got fired. Maybe you lost something big. We've all faced difficult situations, and those are tough spots. And sometimes when we get in those places, we feel like life is never going to be good again. It's been as good as it's got, and everything's downhill from here. All right? Has anybody ever felt like that? It's like, oh, man, I'm never going to get past this. This is just how it is. But listen, I want to tell you, we need to be careful. We need to be careful to let people process through some of those things on their own time, right? Allow God to do the work. It's not very helpful to come up to somebody that's going through something and maybe they've been going through it for a while and just say, you just need to get over it. Does that help? No. We need to allow them to get through it with God in His time. And listen, there is that, like I said, there's this tendency to feel like this is how I'm going to feel for the rest of my life. I'm never going to get over this. Life is horrible, life stinks, and, you know, that's just how it is. But it's interesting if you think of Job in the Bible. All of his kids, you know, servants, all of his income, his everything was taken away from him. His health, all of that. I can imagine that in Job's mind, he thought, you know what, I had it great one day, but, you know, never again. But it's interesting, at the very end of Job, you see that the Bible says God blessed the second half of his life more than the first half. And so even though Job probably got to the point where he, you know, it's not how he imagined it. He lost all of his kids. I mean, the death of one child is already hard enough, but all of his kids, all of his livestock, all of everything, that's a hard thing to endure, but he was blessed. God blessed him to the point where, and we don't know how long that it was, but he was able to have joy again. And I think that that's a good word for us, that when we go through suffering, okay, you may feel like that for now, but guess what? This too shall pass. You will get through the difficult situation. And I think that life has just lived in seasons, and there's seasons where, man, everything is going good. Everything's on running on all cylinders. And I just want to encourage you, rejoice in the Lord when those times are happening. Amen? Thank the Lord. Don't take it for granted that you have your health. Don't take it for granted that maybe your kids are all doing good. Don't take it for granted that hey, listen, I can pay all of my bills this month and I have extra. Rejoice in the Lord during those times, because there are going to be other times that maybe you don't have all of your health. You know, it's interesting that the older we get, the less health we have, right? When we're young, it's like, woo, we got everything. So rejoice when you have that. But see, there are seasons that you're going to grieve. There's seasons that you're going to mourn. There's seasons that become very difficult, and suffering comes into play. Young and old, right? It hits all of us. And I've heard it said that if every day were a good day, there would be no good days. Isn't that true? I mean, sometimes it's the bad days that help us to appreciate the good days. I mean, I always think about, if you think about the sickest that you've ever been, how many of you realize, like, you know, you've been sick, flu, whatever, everything's going on, and then, like, the first day that you start feeling better, isn't it feel amazing? Even though you're still a little bit sick, you, like, appreciate it so much because, man, I remember what I was feeling like yesterday or last week. And so you begin to appreciate that more. I love the fact that God always brings new things into our life. His mercies are new every morning. And I guess just what I'm trying to say is that whatever you're going through, it will pass. Amen? We can hang on to that. Secondly, it's okay to not be okay. How many of you know you don't have to put on a mask? How are you doing today? And your world is falling apart. You're struggling, but you just have to respond with, I'm okay. Isn't that what we do? Meet somebody, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. How's it going? Oh, it's going great. And you know you just bold-faced lied to that person. Right? Or am I the only one that does that? You know, oh, I got to repent now, Lord. I just told him everything was going great, and the fact is everything's going horrible. You're stressed, you're upset, you don't know, you know, maybe you've gotten a fight, maybe you're having a relationship issue, who knows? But I want to tell you that you don't in the kingdom of God, you don't have to fake it till you make it. You can be real with the struggles that you're going through. And that's one of the reasons talking about small groups that it's so important getting connected to a smaller group, because in a bigger group, it's kind of hard to do that, isn't it? I mean, like I said, you're not going to, you know, hey, meeting you in the aisle. Hey, Devin, haven't seen you in a while. How you doing? Oh, man, let me just like dump everything on you. In a small group, you have the relationships where you can begin to be more real. Amen? Everybody needs somebody. Think about Moses. He needed Aaron and Hur on each side of him, right? Somebody had to hold up his hands. And it's just interesting because we feel like we've got to fake it all the time, just get through life and then come home and we fall apart, right? You know, in my position as pastor, there are times that people come to me with, you know, maybe they're struggling in their marriage, but you know what? They don't come at the beginning of the struggle. Oh, man, we're starting to face some issue. How many of you know usually they come when it's like on life support? Isn't that true? Oh, man, everything. It's like, well, you've had this problem for how long? Well, I've been struggling for about 5 years with this, and you're just now seeking help. Right? You're just, I mean, can you imagine? It's like all of a sudden you're feeling something in your body and it's not going well. It's like, oh man, you know, something's not right with me, but I'm just not going to go to the doctor. No, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to hang on until you have like a cardiac arrest, right? Or your limbs start falling off or something. And the doctor's like, why didn't you come in and see me like 2 years ago when you start, or symptoms? How long have you been having these symptoms? Oh, 3 months. Why did you wait? And that's just, it's just something that we, I don't know if it's pride in us, we don't want to, who knows what it is, but it's like, it's okay to not be okay. I don't know if you realize this, but there's nobody on this planet that is 100% okay all the time. Nobody. We all go through stuff, we all struggle, we all need encouragement, we all need people to be there. That's what is so amazing about this faith, this Christianity, is that yes, it's a relationship between God and us, but it's also a relationship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And when you're down, somebody can be there to help pick you up, and vice versa. All of a sudden, you're doing great. Guess what? The Lord wants you to help somebody else. Amen? He wants you to help pick somebody else up. Not just like, oh, I'm doing good. I'll go back to church when everything starts falling apart. And then I come back and everybody, you know, then you get picked back up and you feel like you can make it again. And you know what? Church won't see me again for another 6 months until I get broken down again. And then I can, listen, maybe God has you here right now because you're supposed to build somebody else up. You're supposed to encourage somebody else. So anyway, I can go on for that for a while. Third thing I wanted to say, that the obstacle is the way. I've got a picture I want to show you. There it is. If you're driving your car, how many of you would turn around and go back the other way? In life, sometimes we see obstacles, and we're like, oh, you know what? This isn't the way to go. But I want to tell you that sometimes the obstacle is the way that you need to go. And it may be difficult. It may be challenging. You may have to trade in your vehicle for a pair of hiking shoes to get around some of those things, right? But the obstacle is the way. Listen, when we face difficulties in our life, doesn't the scripture say suffering produces perseverance, right? So if I want perseverance in my life, I'm going to have to go through some of these obstacles. James says this, consider that pure joy. Like, whoa, well, let me go back to that picture because I like that picture. James says, consider that pure joy. You're going down the road. Most of us aren't going to consider that joy. Maybe that's a financial debt right there. How many of you have a debt that looks like that? So, no, don't raise your hand. You know, sometimes we want to go around those trials, but like I said, James says, consider that pure joy. Sometimes we want to go around conflict. There are a few people that just like love conflict, but how many of you know most of us do not like it? We try to avoid conflict at all costs because we don't like it. We don't want to deal with it. Our emotions are going to get in it. But doesn't the Bible say iron sharpens iron? We sharpen one another. And can I just tell you that when iron is sharpening another piece of iron, sometimes sparks fly. Isn't that true? It is okay. Can I just say this? It is okay to have a disagreement with somebody, even if your emotions get involved in that and you get worked up. Maybe you get angry. The other person gets angry. But listen, don't just leave at your anger. Come back together and work it out. I guarantee your relationship will be stronger if you go through that. You will be a sharper individual if you go through that. What happens today is that we get conflict and we're out of here. Oh, somebody didn't notice my new shirt or my new hairstyle or whatever. I'm going to another church. Allow conflict. Don't go around it. Listen, the only way we go around, the only way you get a resurrection is you have to go through death, don't you? Amen. If Jesus didn't die on the cross, there would have been no tomb resurrection 3 days later. You can't go around it. You have to go through these things. Obstacles are the way. You know, the cross of Jesus Christ is like the best picture of what that is. And if you think about the cross, because we have it on our necklaces, people have tattoos of the cross. And if you think about it, it was a first century form of execution. So if we were to do the same thing today, we'd be walking around with a noose on our neck. You know, like, hey, isn't it cool? I got a noose on my neck. Or, you know, I got a tattoo of a firing squad right on my forearm. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't that be a little weird? You'd be thinking, so if somebody were wearing a cross back in the day of Jesus, like, look at my torture thing right here. And it's like, are you sick? Why are you wearing a cross on your necklace? Why do you have a tattoo of a cross on your arm? Because they would think you're weird. It was a first century torture and death. How did it become a symbol of forgiveness, of love, and hope? Because Jesus didn't go around the cross. He went through it, didn't he? He went through it. And so if I need to develop some perseverance, I'm going to have to go through the suffering in order to develop that. Does that make sense? I've got to go through these things. Stop running away from it. Listen, you may go through it. You're going to become a stronger person. You may get pruned like a tree. And that's not very fun either. You may get refined in the gold, which doesn't always feel good either. But on the other side of it, you're going to look more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. So suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces charisma, right? Go to the next slide there. No, character, right? I mean, we like charisma. A lot of times people are, oh, man, I'm attracted to this person. They got so much charisma. But how many of you know you can have charisma and no character? Right? You can have, oh, yeah, everybody just flocks to him, but the guy is a charlatan and a half, right? So if we choose, would you rather have charisma or would you rather have character? Character, everything. I think in the end of the day, character is what counts in our life. And how do I get character? Well, I got to go through the suffering, allow perseverance. Perseverance develops the character in your life, the things that you want to be known for in your life. There's a book, and it's called The Road to Character, and it talks about two different kinds of virtues. There's resume virtues and there's eulogy virtues. Go to the next slide there, Matt. Here we are. Resume virtues are the things that you need to have in your life in order to get a job, right? The skills that you need. Yes, I can work Microsoft Word, Excel. I can type this many words. I can do this. I can do that. But how many of you know when at your funeral, nobody's talking about how good you were at that program or how much you can operate some equipment or whatever it is? Those are resume virtues. Eulogy virtues are virtues that you need to make a life. Those are the things that people talk about. Man, that person was such a loving person. They cared so much. I remember when they did this, and I remember when they did that, and, you know, they gave this to me in this situation. Those are the virtues that we want. Those are the things, and I think sometimes we get too consumed with our resume that we don't think about the eulogy virtues. How do I develop those? How do I get those in my life? And listen, when you're going through a tough season, can I tell you that God is doing something in you? When you're going through a challenge, God is at work on the inside of you, and you may not realize it at the moment, but He is doing something. And when I begin to get in those tough seasons, you know, yes, even pastors go through tough seasons, right? When I feel like I'm going in that and I just kind of feel blah, and listen, I'm pretty, and my family will tell you, my emotional level is like this, like I'm excited, I'm depressed. I'm excited, I'm depressed. So I'm kind of almost flatline, isn't that? You can't always tell when I'm excited and you can't always tell when I'm, but I can tell. I can tell when I'm excited. It's like, woo, I'm excited. And then like, yeah, I'm depressed. That's just, some people are like this, right? How many of you know somebody like that? How many of you are married to that person? No, don't go there. Don't go there. So, listen, when I'm going through this, not this, then I usually ask myself these two questions. First of all, is there a lesson that God is trying to teach me? Amen. Does anybody else ever do that? I'm going through something, and it's like, okay, and I always go to the Lord, okay, God, why am I feeling like this? Why am I just like feeling kind of down in the dumps or perturbed or whatever it is? Because God is probably trying to say something to me. I just have to be able to listen. And listen, not only listen, I want to learn what it is that God is teaching me. Because how many of you know, you may go to public school, and if you don't do so well in first grade, how many of you know you're still going to second grade? You may not do so well, but they just kind of keep passing you on. In God's economy, you don't get to second grade until you pass first grade. Amen? Does that make sense? And so you may meet somebody that's been serving the Lord for 25 years, but that doesn't mean that they have 25 years worth of experience. They have 1 year worth of experience repeated 25 times. Amen? Because they keep going through the same thing, same thing, and same thing. Over and over again. And so don't be that way. Be the person that says, okay, God, what is it? What are you throwing down, God, that I'm not picking up? Amen? Because God is putting something down. We've got to be the people that are willing to learn. So the second thing I want to ask myself is, what character is God trying to build in my life? Is He trying to build patience? And listen, I know everybody says, oh, don't pray for patience, because then God will, listen, patience is a character God's going to build in your life, whether you like it or not. Amen? And you can either repeat it 25 times for the next 25 years, or you can learn it the first time so that you can move on and develop patience. Amen? And so He's going to put you and allow you, He doesn't make those situations, but He's going to allow you in those situations so that you can have character. Character, integrity, those are basically interchangeable words, aren't they? Integrity is important. Integrity is your destiny. It's your legacy, because the fact is, unless the Lord comes in our lifetime, how many of you know we're all going to be the one in the casket at the funeral or the bucket, whatever you want to be in? One of those situations. And in the midst of that, somebody's going to stand up and say something about you. They're going to say, oh, yeah, you know what? This was a guy. And then they're going to think, what else do I say? Listen, I want to be the person that people will be able to say, oh, you know what? He had integrity. He loved people. I want to have virtue in my life. Amen? I want to be a person of character. I don't want to be like the rich. You might have heard this one. I probably shared it, but there were two rich brothers in town, and they were just both dirty, rotten scoundrels, cheats. That's how they got all of their money. Well, one of the brothers died, and the guy's thinking, oh, man, who's going to say anything about him? Because nobody likes him. He was just so mean and ornery. So he comes up with a plan. He goes to the pastor and he says, listen, if you will just tell everybody what a good guy and what a saint my brother is, then I'm going to donate $100,000 to your church. And the pastor's like, wow, you know, I know I'm going to be lying if I say that. But he thinks about it and he gets up there and he says, you know what? You know, this guy was a low-down, dirty dog. He was a cheat. He was a scoundrel. He was all of this. But you know what? Compared to his brother, he was a good guy and a saint. Cha-ching, right? Hey, he said it, so I don't want to be that kind of guy. I want to have real character in my life, don't you? How do I get character? Can we go back to the next slide? The next one forward. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance develops character. I need to learn to persevere in my life. And then the last one here, character, once you become a person of character, that's where hope comes from. That's how I get hope in my life. Suffering produces that. Job said this when he hit rock bottom, though he slay me, yet will I hope and serve in him. Amen. David, when he was a fugitive running from King Saul, I love when it says, I'm going to pitch my tent in the land of hope because his hope was in him. Romans chapter 4 talks about Abraham. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and became the father of many nations. Against all worldly hope, I believe, he still believed. And then it says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. What is that? Confronting the brutal facts, right? Like, I'm way too old to be having kids right now. He faced that, but it says this, that he didn't waver in his faith. He was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Amen? How do you get that kind of hope? I want to have the hope that is unshakable. I want to have the hope that it says in Hebrews 6:19. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary. Think about this. I don't know. Sometimes we just read scripture and we go right past it, don't we? Look what it says. The hope is an anchor. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Who is the only one that really gets to go in the inner sanctuary is Jesus, right? So our hope is Jesus going into that inner sanctuary. He is our forerunner, and he entered in our behalf. I want that kind of hope. I want to be able to hope that no matter what happens, God is with me. In the end, I'm still going to win. Even if I'm going through a storm right now, I'm not going to confuse hope with optimism, because optimism will let you down. Hope never will it? And so I wanted to show you guys a video, and it's about a pastor, a youth pastor from San Diego, and he went through a very difficult thing. A couple of months ago, this video started popping up on Facebook. Some of you guys may have seen it. Maybe you haven't. If not, I mean, I'm just going to let it speak for itself. So if you can play that, Matt, that would be great.
these walls start crumbling. Yeah, I watch these walls start crumbling down, 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 down. They're coming down. They're coming down. Watch these walls start crumbling down, 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 down. Even in the suffering, I'll sing. And even in my questioning, believe. You are always good. You're good to me, and I will sing even in the suffering. Even in the suffering, I'll sing. And even in the questioning, be deep. You are always good. You're good to me, and I will sing all over this church. Lift your hands with me and sing. And this is my song, and this is my dare to worship you.
I get chills every time I see that. This is my song, this is my dare to worship you even while the walls are still standing there. Amen. That's hope. That's hope that, you know what, okay, these walls are real, these walls are true, but you know what, God has the ability to bring every one of them down. Amen. How many of you want that kind of hope? I saw an interview with him on the 700 Club, and as he said, I mean, this song has been viewed over 6 million times in just the last maybe 3 months or so since it came out. That's a lot of views. Looks like he's a part of a pretty good-sized church, but I can guarantee 6 million people don't go to his church. How many of you know God uses the struggles that we go through for the benefit not only of us but for others around us? And he talks about how he has been personally been encouraged going through cancer. 60% of his tongue is gone. If you think, I mean, you could tell how he talked. He didn't have a full tongue there, but you know what? That didn't stop him from singing, did it? It didn't stop that. I was reading about this. It's been in 15 different countries now are singing that song. It's being translated into Chinese, Swedish, Tagalog, Bob. It's being sung in the Philippines now, and Spanish. And you know what? I think if we can just become that person of character, that person that has that kind of hope, then whatever you and I face, how many of you know we're going to come out on the other side looking better? All the dust is going to be settled, and we're still going to be standing. And it makes me think of King David when he had his indiscretion with Bathsheba, and they ended up having a baby. Well, that child was on the verge of dying, and the scripture says that David contended with God over the child. And I like what Pastor Jason started out, wrestled, because that's kind of what it is. I'm going to wrestle this. And listen, the story doesn't have a good ending right there for David because the child does die. But you know what? I believe that when we begin to fight for a situation, we have to learn to contend with God over that. Whether it be your marriage, whether it be a health issue, whatever it is, you know what, if you're in the, you got to fight sometimes that desire to want to grieve and give up the hopelessness, and don't deny God the opportunity for a miracle in your life. Amen? Begin to say, God, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to believe you for a miracle. And when you get that diagnosis or your marriage is struggling, who knows what it is, or a child has wandered from the Lord, keep contending for what God has promised. Keep hanging on to his promises, even when you see the walls there. I believe that contending for what you believe is harder than conceding to the things that you're afraid of. Amen? It's easy to give up, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. No, you keep going. Keep contending. Keep fighting. Don't give up on it. There are seasons in your life that you need to contend for your marriage, don't you? You need to be willing to fight for it. You need to contend for your kids. You need to contend for that dream that God put in your heart and not just like, well, you know what? You know, I gave God 6 months, it didn't happen, so I guess it's not going to happen. No, you got to keep fighting. You got to contend for the faith that God put on the inside of you. And the encouraging thing is that while you're fighting for whatever it is, how many of you know God is fighting with you? He's not just like, he's not the observer on the outside like, well, yeah, they're really trying to put up a fight there. No, God is in the ring with us. The scripture says that the Spirit of God, that Jesus is ever interceding for you and I right now. So whatever it is that you're fighting for, know that God is on your side and he is interceding with you. Amen? And listen, he's interceding in a way that is better than any of us. So I just want to encourage you to keep on. Don't give up. Don't concede to the enemy. Don't concede to depression. Don't concede to whatever battle you're going on. And I want to just close with this one story. None of us were alive when this guy was around. How many of you like boxing? Anyone? Some of you guys like that? Does anybody know who John L. Sullivan was? You know who he was. Yeah, he was, they say, he was in the 1800s, one of the greatest boxers. He was the last world champion, heavyweight world champion of bare-knuckle fighting, boxing. Now, ouch. Everybody say ouch. But during his time, all of a sudden, they started doing gloved, you know. So he was the first heavyweight world champion of gloved boxing. I mean, and he was like, they say he was the best. He was amazing. And he had that title for over a decade until September 7th, 1892, when a boxer named Gentleman Jim Corbett. There was a movie made about him called Gentleman Jim. And that was, I think, in the 50s. So it's probably not on Netflix or anything like that. But some of you guys may have seen that. And that fight right there is Gentleman Jim Corbett's most famous fight. He went 21 rounds with him. And that's a lot of fighting, isn't it? I don't know how many they go these days. But not 21 rounds. How many? 12 rounds. So he almost doubled that. So he became known over that. But listen, the thing that I like about him when I was reading this story is a fight that he had prior to that. He had a fight on May 21st, 1891, when he fought a town rival that owned another gym. And this guy's name was Peter Black Prince Jackson. Let's see it right there. Let me tell you, how many of you know racial issues were alive and well back then? White guys did not fight black guys unless it was in the back alley, right? With probably a hood on their face or something. Well, this guy, Peter Jackson, was like the champion of Australia. He wasn't even from America. But Gentleman Jim Corbett, he would never fight him because of that situation. But finally, they conceded. It wasn't like an official match. But here's the thing. He went 21 rounds with that other guy. But he went, you ready for this? 61 rounds. And it ended in a no contest. Like, after 60, who has the energy to do 61 rounds? Like you're coming in there like that and just like, let me just spin my body and hope my arm swings up and hits you, right? And I just think about that. That's amazing. Here's, I'll tell you, this is what Corbett's motto was. He says, fight one more round. Just keep going. This is the full context. He said, when your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift your hand to come on guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding, your eyes are black, and you're so tired that you wish your opponent would crack you one on the jaw and put you to sleep, fight one more round. He said, remembering the man who fights one more round is never whipped. Fight one more round. And I wonder if that's what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he said in Ephesians 6, having done all you can do to stand, stand some more. Amen? Stay in there. You know, failure is not getting down, it's staying down, isn't it? And you know, we all get knocked down from time to time. Faith is getting up and fighting one more round. Hope is getting up on that 61st round, isn't it? All right, I'm getting back up. I'm getting back up. The enemy hates it when you get back up. He wants to knock you back down, but you know what? Keep getting up. I believe that God is going to bring victory. And listen, this isn't just a pep talk of like, oh, yeah, you can do it. You know, I'm not like Rocky's trainer and, you know, do it, Rock. You can do it. This is, how many of you know, if we're going to do this, we need the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need God in our life in order to do these things. It's not just a matter of you trying to buck up and be stronger. Face the brutal facts and begin. And Timothy, you can come up. Begin to hang on and just believe that God is going to have the final word in your life. So whatever you're going through, and listen, maybe you're not going through really anything major right now and things are good. Can I just tell you, rejoice in that time. Rejoice in that. But I want to tell you, there's a day coming when challenges and adversity are going to become overwhelming in your life. And I want you to remember, you know what? I'm going to keep going. God has the last word. I'm going to allow hope. I left that off. I didn't even, do I have one more? I think I have one more. There it is right there. The last part of verse 4, perseverance produces character, character, hope, and look what, hope does not disappoint. If you found life disappointing, guess what we need? We need some hope. We need to learn to go through the stuff, not be crushed by it, not be defined by it, but be refined by it. Amen? Become who God has called you to be. Go through it. Have some hope in your life, but it's only going to come one way. You can't take a course on three ways to get hope in your life. No, God has the way to do it, and we've got to go His way. Amen? Can I have everybody stand? You know what? If I can have just a Jason and AJ and Heather, can I have some of our prayer people come up? If you're here today and you just need some people to pray with you, maybe you're going through something. I said it earlier. You don't have to go through it alone. And you don't have to come up here and dump everything out. Just come up and say, you know what? I'm going through something, and I just need some prayer to help me to get all the way through to the other end. Amen? And so while Timothy is singing this song, you can worship the Lord where you are, or just come up and allow God to give you the strength that you need. Amen?